We begin our studies today in Galatians 1, verse 2. The book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 2. We're talking about how the Bible was passed down to our age. We've looked at the Old Testament, and we've talked about the fact that these Old Testament scriptures were copied and recopied and passed down faithfully and accurately through the years. And so God gave the Old Testament scriptures, and He preserved those Old Testament scriptures. The same thing is true with New Testament books. God inspired the writing of the New Testament. And Jesus promised that heaven and earth would pass away, but my words shall not pass away, Matthew 24, verse 35, comes into play when we talk about the preservation of these New Testament books. When you read your Bible today, you're reading books in the New Testament that are almost 2,000 years old. So how do we know that what we're reading now is what they wrote then? Well, that's because we have all kinds of evidence to show that these books in the New Testament were copied faithfully and that these scriptures were preserved. So let's begin today by noticing what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 2. Here Paul said that he's writing, "With all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia." Now, the book of Galatians is different from Ephesians or Philippians or Colossians and other books in that the book of Galatians is not written to one church in one city. The book of Galatians is written to a group of churches in a given region, in the region of Galatia. And so Paul intended for all of these churches to read the book of Galatians. Now, obviously, what happened here is that when Paul sent this one letter, there were copies made of this epistle. So we have in the first century the very beginning of copies being made of these original manuscripts that Paul and, of course, other writers wrote. Now let's turn next to the book of Colossians, chapter 4. The book of Colossians, chapter 4. Here in Colossians 4, verse 16, the Bible says, "And when this epistle is read among you," that is the book of Colossians. So when Paul sent a letter out to these churches, they were to read that epistle. And they were to read that epistle in the public worship assembly. They were to read it to all of them that were gathered there together. Now Paul said, "When this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans." Now we read about the church in Laodicea in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 3, here Paul mentions that church, which, by the way, was not far from Colossae. It goes first to the Colossians, and then it goes to the Laodiceans. Well, what we find here then is that the epistles in the New Testament are being circulated. And as they're being circulated from place to place, obviously again, there are going to be copies made of these books. Now let's turn next to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 15. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15. Paul said that they should account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. Peter said, "I'm writing my letters to you." Now, Peter wrote two letters, two epistles to these people, the book of 1 Peter and the book of 2 Peter. And in the book of 2 Peter, he says that Paul had also written some epistles to the people in this region. And again, as these epistles are being circulated, there's no question but that these books were copied. Now today we stand almost 2,000 years after the completion of the New Testament. And the fact is, we have more ancient manuscripts or copies of the New Testament books than any other ancient book in existence. We have over 5,000 ancient manuscripts of the New Testament. Now, some of these have most, if not all, of the New Testament books. Some of them are copies of a single New Testament book. Some of them are pieces or fragments of copies that were made long, long ago. Some of them are over 1,000 years old, and some of them are close to 1,900 years old. We have one fragment called the John Rylands Fragment that goes back to the early part of the 2nd century. Well, that's within about a generation of the time that the apostles died. And it's interesting to compare all of these copies of the New Testament to copies that have been made of other old books. For instance, if you look back and you think about the writings of Shakespeare, how often do you hear people say about the writings of Shakespeare what they say about the Bible? And I mean by that something like this. How many times have you ever heard anybody say, well, who knows what Shakespeare actually wrote? How do we know that the copies that we have about what he supposedly wrote were not changed? How do we know that somebody didn't add to them and alter them or take away from them? You rarely hear people talking like that. And yet, when it comes to the Bible, people will make those statements even though we have far, far more ancient manuscripts of the New Testament than we have of the writing of Shakespeare or any other old writer. For instance, I'm looking at a list here that was compiled by some Bible scholars. And these may or may not be books that you've read or even heard of, but it still illustrates the point that we're making here. Homer's Iliad was written about the 8th century BC. We only have 643 ancient manuscripts of that work. Caesar's Gallic Wars was written about 58 to 50 BC. We only have 9 or 10 good manuscripts. Then we have Tacitus' Annals, which were written about 100 AD. We only have 12 manuscripts of that work. And what I'm saying again is this. Many people would never question that we have the writings of Homer or Caesar or Tacitus. And yet they'll question whether we have the writings of Paul or Peter or John, even though all the manuscript evidence that we have about Peter and John and Paul and these other New Testament writers far outweighs and far outnumbers any of these other ancient works. But here's something else to consider. Anytime that you hear anybody question the authenticity of the New Testament, anytime that you hear anybody saying that the Bible has been changed, that it's been miscopied, that it's been revised, and so forth over the years, consider this. We have quotations from ancient writers that confirm the writings of the New Testament. For instance, there was a man by the name of Clement of Rome. He lived from 75 to 110 AD. Now listen very carefully. He quoted many New Testament verses, such as, "With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again," and "Love covereth a multitude of sins." Now, if those passages sound familiar, they should be, because the first one is word for word from Matthew 7, verse 2, and the second one is word for word from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Now, if the New Testament has been miscopied and mistranslated, if it's been revised and changed, then why is it that this man, living from 75 to 110 AD and writing these things in that period, how is it that he quoted word for word exactly what you have in your Bible today? But it doesn't stop there. A man named Ignatius, between the years of about 98 to 117 AD, quoted these words from Paul. "Likewise must the deacons be blameless." 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Now that's not long after the lifetime of Paul and these other inspired men. Now, if, as some people say, the Bible has been changed, if it's been corrupted, then why is it that Ignatius quoted exactly the same words that you have in your Bible today, and he wrote these things somewhere between 98 and 117 AD? Here we have again a man named Polycarp, who was born in 69 AD and lived to about the year 155. He quoted 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Now, you can turn in your Bible and look there, and you'll find that those are the very words that you still have in your Bible today. This man, who lived about 1,900 years ago, said the same thing was in his Bible in his day. Justin Martyr, from 114 to 165 AD, talked about Jesus' warning about false prophets who would come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now that is straight from Matthew 7, verse 15. Look at your Bible again, and you'll find in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, those very words. Now how could Justin Martyr, between 114 and 165 AD, quote those words if those words didn't exist in his time? If somebody added them later, if those were not the very words that Jesus spoke in Matthew 7, verse 15, then how could he quote them? And where did he get that information? Where did he read that, folks? He read that from a copy of the New Testament. They had copies of the New Testament books just like you and I do, and they read exactly what you and I do today. Here's one more example. Irenaeus. He lived from 120 to 202 AD. He quoted the New Testament over 1,800 times. Now, how could he do that if those books were not written when we believe that they were written in the first century? You see, again, there are some people that say that sections of, if not entire books of, the Bible were actually written 200 or 300 years after we think they were actually written. Well, Irenaeus quoted from these books, and he quoted some 1,800 times. Let me give you an example of how important it is to know this information. I'm looking at a copy of what is called the New International Version of the Bible. And I'm looking at the section toward the end of the book of Mark. And there's a note in this translation of the Bible, which says, beginning at verse 9, "The most reliable early manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have Mark 16, 9 through 20. So this translation says, well, there's a serious question as to whether Mark 16, 9 through 20 actually belongs in your Bible. Because they say there are some old manuscripts that don't have it. There are some other sources that do not put it in there. Well, it just so happens that the last writer that we referred to, named Irenaeus, who lived again from 120 to 202 AD, he quoted from Mark chapter 16, verse 19. Listen to this very carefully. Irenaeus says, also towards the conclusion of his gospel, Mark says, "So then, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God." Now, Irenaeus quotes that passage. He said it's toward the end of the book of Mark, and he quotes word for word what we find in Mark chapter 16, verse 19. Now, if the latter part of the book of Mark did not exist until years later, because somebody evidently put it in there and it's not supposed to be in there, then how is it that this man could quote it in the second century? Well, you see, what's happening is that there are versions like the New International Version and others which actually ignore some of this manuscript evidence that we've talked about today, and they leave the impression that the Bible has been changed, that it's been altered, that it's been corrupted through the centuries. And it's refreshing, and I believe that it's faith-building for us to go back and to look at the facts about this issue.